Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On February 18th, 1990, I was born and named Nicholas Michael Cooey and placed into the Cooey family. When we are born, we are placed into a family, and that family name is placed on us. And as a result, we belong to that family and to that group of people that bears and shares that name. That name is part of who we are and where we can find our identity in. It's also who we are associated with, whether we like it or not. In baptism, God does the same thing. He places His name on us, and we become part of His family. He becomes our Father, and we become His son or His daughter. We are part of His family, and as a result, we belong to Him. And in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7, we see a wonderful explanation and exposition of what it means to be called by God's name. We see what it means that we belong to Him and what it means that we bear that name. And as we do, we see many wonderful promises and consolations. In just this little 7-verse passage, Isaiah uses 26 second-person singular pronouns. He says all over the place, you singular. The you is not plural. He doesn't say you all or y'all as they would down south. He says you singular. And that's important. The singular you denotes a focus that is intimate and individual, that is personal and also particular. No wonder Martin Luther points out that this chapter was written to encourage the church and to really lift it up. So let's see this word of promise and proclamation given to you, you singular. These promises were first spoken to Israel over 2,700 years ago. And what did God say? We'll touch on just a few of them. He says, but now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in exchange for your life. What a word, right? What a word that reminds them of God's love and care. What a word that reminds them that God is with them in any trial or danger that they might ever face. It really doesn't get much better than that. But these words have a rather strange context. Isaiah writes these words for people that are far away from home in a land called Babylon. He writes them for a people who would be surrounded by Babylon's gods and cultures and norms and values and temptations. That's not really what makes this context strange. This does. Immediately before our text, Israel is harshly rebuked, and God's burning wrath is announced against them. They're called blind and deaf repeatedly and over in the preceding passage. Israel is deaf and blind to God and His ways. They don't believe and live as God's servant. They did not obey His law and were truly blind to what God had done for them and what He does do for them. In 42:24, the prophet says these stunning words. He says, who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we sinned and whose ways they would not walk and whose law they would not obey? In 65:2, it says the Israelites walked in a way that was not good, following their own devices. Is this really a people who should hear, fear not? No, absolutely not. But God speaks to His people in a way that they don't deserve. God speaks to His wayward people words of love and grace. He says, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Really, what words spoken to such an undeserving group of people? But God's words really shouldn't be a surprise. The Old Testament is not about Israel's faithfulness, but it's about God's faithfulness to Israel. It's not about God's the people's love for God, but rather it's about God's love for them. But some things really never change. As God's people, we too can be like Israel. We can be blind and deaf and prone to wander. We can close our eyes and our ears to what God says in His Word. We can close our eyes and ears to His ways. Instead of walking on His paths, it seems we so often proceed forward on ways marked and paved by lust and greed, anger and covetousness. We join the Israelites in walking in a way that's not good, following our own sinful devices. And no one's exempt from this. We've all been born blind, dead, and enemies of God. But remember what it's all about. The Bible's not about the people's faithfulness, but God. It's not about their love for Him, but His love for them. For what God proclaims to Israel, proclaims to you. You singular as well. God says, "Fear not. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." Remember that you is singular. It focuses on an element that is particular and personal, intimate and individual. The word redeem means to buy back. And what has He bought you back from? Sin. Sin's control, death, eternal death, the devil in his domain, from worthless ways, from an empty life, from spiritual blindness. He has bought you back from those things. And with what? The holy and precious blood of Christ, and by His suffering and death. You are blood bought. You are forgiven. Fear not. But there is more. You are called by name. You are His. In the Old Testament, naming is a claim of ownership. And we see a modern example of this with our pets. The person that owns the pet names the pet, right? You don't name someone else's dog and they don't name your fish. The person who owns the pet is the one who names the pet, and we do it because they belong to us. Take my brother, for instance. My brother has lots of pets. He has Opal and Lola the rabbits, Ozzy and Junior the cats, and Cinnamon and Sugar are the gerbils. And he names them because he owns them. They are his. You don't name what doesn't belong to you. And you are God's. He has called you by name. He has placed His name on you. When and where did this happen? Our closing hymn says it well. It says, the gifts flow from the font, where He calls us His own. New life He gives that makes us His and His alone. Here He forgives our sin with water and the Word. The triune God Himself gives power to call Him Lord. In baptism, He has named you and He has claimed you. He has united us with Christ in His death and raised us to new life with Him. He has given us His Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, and has given us the forgiveness we so desperately need. You are His. And because you are His, because He has called you by name, He's with you. God does not abandon His own. God does not leave His abandoned, He doesn't abandon His baptized children. And notice what He says next. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. This doesn't mean that we should go test our luck and try to walk through a bonfire or go swimming in a place that's over our head. Fire and water symbolize any danger and trial we may face in this life. And notice that the text doesn't say that you won't face these things. In fact, it says the opposite. You will. I can promise you that. But better yet, God promises to be with you as you do. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I've seen this truth in my own life. He's really true to His word. One of the most vivid memories in my life is, unfortunately, one of the sadder ones. I can remember with precise detail the night the doctors told my extended family that my sister had leukemia. I can still remember over 15 years later where everyone sat in the room, what they were wearing, their demeanor, the hands buried in faces, the tears shed, Dr. Goodell's demeanor, and just the tension and horror of it all. But over the next year and a half, we saw this truth. Well, sometimes things got hot. Sometimes the fire raged. Sometimes the water was ankle deep, waist high, and neck deep. But we weren't alone. He was with us. God assures his people that even their great trials, that he will work out for their good in Jesus Christ. Why? The Lord has redeemed you, and we are his. But again, there's more. Verse 4 says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. No one says it better than Luther when he writes what he says next. He says, because you are precious. Where? In my eyes. Who says that? The world doesn't say that. No, to the contrary, in your own eyes you may seem cast off, but in my eyes you are a noble jewel and emerald. Although in supreme trials you seem nothing in your own eyes and are condemned as one cast off by the world, but in my eyes you are glorious. Therefore you may be vile in your own eyes, in the eyes of the world, and even in those of your brothers, but fear not. In my eyes I regard you as a precious jewel. In God's eyes, because of Christ, you are precious, you are honored, and you are loved, you singular. The world may say differently. They may say, you're not important, you have nothing to bring, you're worthless. Others might agree, and we might agree with them. We might think, I'm unlovable, or I am nothing. But that doesn't change the facts. You are precious and valuable to God like a jewel. You're honored and loved. How do we know? He gave up his most prized possession for you, his son. Nothing screams, I love you, I'm with you, you're important, you are mine, you are valued, like God giving up his son for you. Isaiah 43 really is a wonderful explanation of what it means to be called by God's name. As people called by God's name in baptism, we are loved, redeemed, precious, and we go forward with the Lord. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has called you by name. Amen.